I ask everybody please to keep the I'd ask everybody to rise and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance, please. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, to the Republic of the Union, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you very much. Carol, please let the record show that all board members are present, with the exception of Director Tetro. This would be the time for public comment, and typically it's the special meeting of the regular board of directors of the town of Discovery Bay for the specific purpose of talking about the possibilities of the dog park. Typically, this would be a point where we would say, if you have your 3 minutes for public comment, based on the agenda items, but there's only one agenda item, it seems to make more sense that we give you that opportunity after you've heard the presentation. Since at this point, you probably won't know what to comment on. So unless anybody, but our rule will state that we give you that opportunity. Does anybody have anything that they want to talk about prior to the presentation? If so, please come to the mic. Okay, your time for public comments closed. I want to talk a little bit, this is a little different for some of you who maybe not been to a board director meeting before. I just want to let you know that there are rules that we have to abide by state law and by act called the Ralph M. Brown Act, and we run our meetings that way. And this is kind of a workshop format, so it's a little less formal. What we're going to do is ask that you make notes for what questions you want to have of the staff while the presentation is being presented. And then after that occurs, come up to the microphone, because we are recording this for the benefit of other people in the town that can't make it, and go to a microphone and ask the questions. I'll try to call on you the best I can in some sort of orderly fashion. Please go shouting out the questions from the audience, please come to the microphone. At this point, I would like to introduce, for those of you who don't know, Karen Perez. Karen is our landscape manager, and she put this plan together, and I'd like to also introduce Ruth Jett, who is the landscape architect, and at this point I'll turn the meeting over to you, Karen.
On behalf of the board and myself, I'd just like to say thank you for coming out tonight. I appreciate everybody's attendance, and we're kind of doing we'll definitely going to be presenting a lot of information to you and fairly quickly. The comment card is to help you follow along with what we're presenting, to keep your ideas, your thoughts, and even if you don't want to get up and speak at the end, I'd love to see these. There's a basket. If you fill it out and you're comfortable leaving with it, I'd love to keep it. There are some questions on the bottom as well. There was also a sign-in sheet, if you missed it, in the front, that if you present future agenda items on this, if you do your information, we will notify you of those. Obviously we know Roger discussed an off-leash dog park. This kind of came up, let me give you a brief history of why we're here, because we've actually talked about it in the past as a board and through my function. But we started really early spring. We had some residents who came in very concerned about some dog attacks that had happened at Cornell Park, which is actually on the other side of town off of Everyday Boulevard. After they had presented their concerns to our board, we kind of started talking about doing an off-leash area or enclosing area at Cornell Park that would allow dogs to roam free. Besides the dog attack, we had also had horse police that had contacted us stating that, you know, dogs were interfering with their games and their needs for the fields, and this was pretty consistent. After those board meetings and during our budget this year, the board did approve funding for a dog off-leash dog park at Cornell Park. We set aside $85,000 to do an off-leash site there, and as we started to look at it and we brought up these kind of design layouts, we realized that there were some really big issues with using that location. Mainly that park is completely surrounded by homes, so it would have affected either directly homeowners right behind it, and or we would have had to lose and give up some of our recreational area that is set aside for field use, and there wasn't enough space. So we went out and started looking for alternate sites. The site is really limited within Discovery Bay with the amount of park space we have. We have just over 23 acres of park space for the whole town. If you consider the per capita for a city guidelines, you know, they like to see 3 to 7 acres per 1,000 people we have. Right now we're about 1.75 acres per 1,000 people. So our space, our open space that we can use to try to find and create recreational facilities or opportunities for our residents is very limited. After we looked at the sites that were available, we presented 3 options to the board to do some conceptual design work to bring back to the community. You're going to have to move it from Cornell. The board approved 2 sites. The 2 sites are sitting in front of you. One is the landscape area to the north, the parking lot, which is on Victor Road, and the other is actually right next door at the eastern back half or back lot of Cycle Park. I'm going to invite you guys to come up and actually talk about the 2 designs, and then we'll get into a little bit more on the budget and the case.
Thank you, Gary. Again, I'm Bruce Jeff, a Bruce Jeff Associates, a landscape architect located in Eureka, California. We work with Discovery Bay on a few other projects, including the splash pad for the park and the Sweatland Boulevard. It's good to be back, and thank you for your attention to this project. When we, first, a little background I wanted to mention about myself is I love dogs. I grew up on a beautiful site in the South Bay area, and my mother was a fanatic about dogs, so there was usually about anywhere from 4 to 6 dogs in our household at any one given time. And I honestly was responsible for at least 2 of those at any one given time for many years. So when I got the opportunity here to study the dog parks, I was going to have to take that on. We've already had involvement with other park districts throughout the Bay Area and looking for design of dog parks. Another one would be the closest one here. Given that, I'll be happy to share our insights and thoughts on the design of dog parks with you. And I, moving forward here, we did it once we were assigned to this project. We did some background research on it. It included going and seeing half a dozen other dog parks throughout the East Bay. Marlin Pound Neighborhood Park, which is one that we designed a few years back for Livermore, was one. The San Ramon Memorial Park was the other. And then McGee Ranch, Chima Corral, a third park among them, that half a dozen of it actually was done. They're all very interesting to look at, and we learned a lot from talking about dog owners. We actually did talk about the 1 dog owner here in Discovery Bay that happened to come across while with measuring the Spicer Park site. And there's a number of things that we learned from this research. One, let me put that before a little bit here, but first of all, entry and exit is key. Both parks proposed that we have a small dog area and a large dog area separated by a fence. So there's we need to keep those areas separate. But also, dogs coming into a dog park and going out from the dog park are also a desirable option to keep those separate as well. I think we have dogs that are really excited to get there, and other dogs are worn out or tired or still excited to be there, not wanting to go home. Sometimes getting too close to that creates a conflict. We also learned, interestingly, that grass is actually a better surface for dogs to play on than any of the other surfaces. Looking back here, the options are one way. The option, for instance, here at San Ramon Memorial Park, right here they have the whole area, large square area, the whole area is covered with compacted gravel, essentially park, people put granite. And not good for a couple of reasons. One being that it's dusty and dirty, so the dogs go out and play and roll around and come home, they're dusty and dirty, and then it picks up a lot of dust. So any neighbors that might be concerned about that, the grass, they won't have to deal with it. Another thing is the communication is really welcomed by the dog owners. There's opportunities for folks that can pet sitting, folks that share dog care with their neighbors or other dog owners. We communicate with bulletin boards, so that has been a very important part of the program for these dog parks. Litter control facilities is key. Seating for individuals and groups was also something that we noticed is very welcome by the users of these dog parks. There is also a growing need for recreation. A lot of dog owners need a place to turn their dog off and let them run for a while. And they have a lot of fun doing that. It's a good community, creates a sense of community that I think is welcome. We talked to a couple of districts about dog park complaints from neighbors. The Marlin Pound was one of my particular interests because we designed it, and it was very similar to the parking lot site where there were some neighbors who were close to the proposed site. I talked about that site has been there for about 6 to 7 years now. I have been in touch with the Livermore Park District and asked them if they've had any ongoing complaints. And they really were actually done. I think they can think of in the history. So many of the concerns that those neighbors have really never came to fruition. In part because dog owners tend to be self-maintaining and self-ruling. So we even witnessed dogs that started to get too aggressive. The owners were really taking care of them in those situations and removing dogs from the park, picking up their litter. Dogs were not barking and making a lot of noise. So it's a really it's a great group of folks that have a really important need, and their self-maintenance for people. And of course, disabled access was another thing that we need to satisfy in both of these parks. And the separation of large and small dog areas seems to be pretty universal throughout all of the parks that we visited and people we talked to. So that translated into our program elements and we incorporated into the designs. First of all, as Karen mentioned, we had two existing sites. We had to take as much advantage of those attributes as possible and separate the large and small dog play areas, 4 foot high fence with the mow down so that it's easy for grass, it's easy to maintain. The water spigot will be provided in each park so that dogs can be sort of fill a water pan with water to your dogs. Picnic tables, bench seating, signage, roller board, trash and waste disposals. Those are the prime components of our designs. This is our first alternative we'd like to present to you for your comment. It's the Spiker Park. Right here is the whole Spiker Park. This is the lower wetland, Spiker Drive. Don't know the name of that road. Closest houses are right here. Here's where we are right now. We're taking this end of it, adjacent to the basketball court, which is as far as we can get from the play field. And the fence line is going to, we're proposing to replace the existing brick concrete fabricated rail fence along the Spiker Drive with a 4 foot high chain link fence. It really follows the contour of the line. We're also taking into consideration of moving that fence or taking that fence out and letting the existing fence be the boundaries for the park. This is a planted area all along here. And the grade change is considered as a slope down and move down this wetland area there. We have one primary location for the entrances to both the small dog area, which we located here, and the large dog area there. Once through those gates, you'll enter here, come into one of those areas, the large dog area here, enter here for the small dog area. Picnic tables, shade trees, and a series of benches on both sides of this. Maintenance is one of the things we need to make sure we're keeping active. access. So these larger gates are maintenance access to mow the lawn and prepare for irrigation and things like that. And then link the small dog and the large dog area again. Our other alternative is, and just be sure that in this area as well as where we will locate the water station for here we are at the parking lot site. This is Dixon Road right here. This is the parking lot. There's a pumping station right here, I believe. We have houses along the property line. The closest house here, if the residence is here, and you know how close you are, we estimate about 8-10 feet off of the tall concrete masonry block wall, sound wall that runs around the whole park. This wall steps down approximately in this area to a shorter mark, and so it's 2 steps, I believe, to about 4 or 4.5 feet right in here. When we did our site analysis, we discovered this pedestrian link that ties Bixler to this park here, and felt that it would be a good idea to add a second access so that folks can walk their dog clearly through coming here, not only to get in their car and drive. And then the main access, this is right here, we have a paved access for small dogs in this area. Picnic tables, same program as we talked about, picnic tables, water spigots, benches throughout, 4-foot fence to separate the dogs here, so the fence line really follows here. Again, we are proposing to remove the 3-rail fence along Bixler and replace it with the chain link fence. So just to walk you quickly through the furnishings proposed again, litter control, all sorts of pinned dog areas are familiar. The water spigot will need to have a self-turning off, auto shut-off closed bit, so that people won't move the water on forever across the city counter on Discovery Bay. And then, again, the fencing would be a black, also good to use. Flag, chain link fence. Continuing on, as I mentioned, the bulletin boards seem to be very important to add into the access of community and communication to the folks in the community, fencing, so that for ease of maintenance and removal if ever necessary, ADA, wheelchair accessible, picnic table, at least one in every park. What was key is right here, the signage. And this is just an example of the signage that would be posted at this park service. We've seen signage that was for anywhere from about a paragraph of rules to about 20-22 different rules for use of the dog park. And what we found is that those rules are followed and then posted by the users of those dog parks. And of course, planting, what we, at the parking lot site, we want to make sure that we put in an adequate screening, visual screening for folks along on the residential side of that site. So upright, narrow, evergreen trees, spaced closely together, so that we can screen out anybody that might be concerned about that. And push shade trees. We want to make sure they're wind tolerant, and we'll get up and spread some shade so that folks will be able to sit outside or out of the sun. So I think that's about it. I'm going to turn the presentation back over to Ben, and I'll be happy to answer any questions and include the comments back about our designs. This is all ready for you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
What I really wanted out of that presentation from Bruce is for you guys to kind of have a conceptual idea of what we're talking about doing. Besides just having an idea of what it would look like and what we would need to do it right, we also obviously need to talk about what it's going to take to get it done, both financially and within the processes. First of all, I want to clarify something before I get into budgets and actually anything else. Tonight, this board and we do not have the authority to approve this project. Both of these sites are within Zone 61. Zone 61 is a lighting and landscape zone within a county-owned larger zone that holds lots of districts. We'll briefly explain that a little bit. Within Discovery Bay, we have five landscape zones. They're all funded separately. The funding within those zones can only be used for improvements and maintenance within the actual district that they're collected from. So, these two sites would be Zone 61, and include the homes in Lakeshore, the lakes, and also everything around this school up to Newport Lane, excluding the neighborhood. That being said, all of the things that we do as a community, even though we don't have the authority to approve this, we've done other projects this year. For example, at Rangers Woods, Flash Pad, Solar Lighting, those projects are paid by the people who are invested in that zone. Those benefits, those improvements that we put in are accessible to the entire community. Obviously, anybody can go over there and use it. So this is really why we opened up the forum to talk to the whole community about it, not just a specific zone. What we're looking for tonight is input on the design. If there's definite concerns over, something that we showed you, if we have support for it, and if so, at the end of the night, is there a site that's more favorable than the other? And do we want to move forward with discussing with the county how to make this happen in the approval process? I'll get into the business now. The first site is Slicer Park. You all have copies of the registered certificate packet. There are three options that I tried to show what we could do and kind of give a range. I'm sorry, I don't have one. On both sites, we have three options. The first option on both sites is as designed. So this is all of the things that Bruce Jett went out and talked to and collected information from other cities. What did they do? What did they do wrong? What would they do? What would they choose to do differently if they could start over? And so we tried to collect all that information and put it into our design to say, this is the way that they say to do it right. And everyone else has done it. They're trial and error. We're going to learn from it. And we're going to design it this way. Those are the costs, the optional costs are exactly as designed, exactly as was recommended to us. Option two is a value engineered form of that. Basically, maybe it actually points out on the bottom of those pages what we're taking out. They're reducing the number of picnic tables in there. We're reducing the number of benches. We're going to say that we don't need as many dog stations. So we're basically taking the general idea and then condensing it and getting rid of some items. So that's what you're doing in option two. So you'll see, starting with option one for Slicer Park and moving to option two, you're starting at $118,000 and then significantly reducing that to $91,000 by just taking some items out. The third option is doing a combined park. So instead of separating the dogs into small and large, and we just open up the whole area, and we don't need as many gates or entrances, and we don't need as many rest areas because we'll have one seating area for everybody. You can cut down costs again, and we can get a better 90 cost. What I want to talk about is there's some costs involved. This is not construction costs. You can see the differences in here. There are some administration costs. There's going to be environmental review. This isn't by any means something we can just say yes and get done tomorrow. It's a process. We'll go more into that for any off subject. Anyways, we did the same thing. So Slicer Park is the ranges for Slicer Park go from 85,000 to almost 112, I think. And then when you look at moving that to the park and ride location and the budgets for that, the budgets there are significantly higher. When we look at Slicer Park, we have pathways that already exist. The park and ride location, it doesn't. It's a landscape area. We'd have to put in more concrete. You'd actually have to put in more turf area to make that a usable site. So those are some really high construction costs that we're going to see increase if we move it to that area. And you can look at your budget fund as well. It's the same three ideas: as design, value engineered, and then combining the parts where we just have one instead of two. Talking about maintenance, what besides the work that Bruce did, our office also contacted several cities around here that do have dog parks. For instance, this is Brentwood. They have a small dog park, and mainly our concern is the site design with long-term maintenance. Because even if we get the park built, what's it going to cost us to keep it going? And what we found was that most of the people that we contacted, they don't do anything. The dog owners are very good, according to what they say, at cleaning them off of themselves. They don't send any special crews to clean up those areas. They don't do any special maintenance. They have a fence, and Brentwood once a year will go in and re-sod the entryways that get a little wear and tear in there. You talk to Livermore, they don't do anything. They leave it, and they're okay with it. They're okay with a little wear and tear for the dogs, and there's no additional maintenance cost. There's no budget money away for maintenance of the dog park. So their only cost was to build it. And right now, if you look at the Cypher location, we already mow that lawn. We already water the grass. We already pay for the maintenance. We already have dog station. So maybe adding a couple more, I think, and doing a re-sodding of the cleaning program, there was very minimal maintenance, additional maintenance costs to that park. You look at the park and ride, we might have a little bit more maintenance costs than we already do. By increasing the turf area, we'd be increasing our maintenance costs on the landscape area. We'd also be increasing our water usage there. So, as far as the maintenance standpoint, the cycle seems a little bit more reasonable for long-term maintenance. Besides that, we also heard that almost every typical dog park had a coalition. People who came together and said, we're going to make this work, we're going to help out, they'll get together and they'll go make sure everything's clean, they'll plan events for the dog park, and it just seems that if the dog park was there, then the owners were also there and part of that. And a lot of the success of the dog park and within the community are the coalition. Right now, I can go to Cornell almost any evening and see a group of owners who already meet. You can go almost any morning to Cypher Park and see a group of dog owners who are right here. Dog owners who also meet there and are all these people using the facilities already off leash in the open. What we're trying to do is find something, a safe way of doing that, of allowing without encroaching onto our playing fields, without bothering the soccer people, without taking your dog to the park is still a recreation. Right now, that's one of the biggest recreations our community has. I can't drive anywhere without seeing somebody walk their dog at all times, in the night, day. I mean, it happens. So we would like to, with the funds that we have available and the space that we have available, really provide recreational opportunities for communities that are going to be beneficial to the community as a whole, and not just a specific group. So, and we have a lot of dog owners, so it's obvious. Going back to the timelines on this project and the approval processes, talking about the two sites and how shall there would be an environmental review process that went along with that took several months. If the project is approved. Right now, there is funding in the Drone 61 fund that's set aside in capital improvement fund. Originally, those funds were decided or requested to put in capital improvements at Plankford Park, one shade structure, and two pickleball courts. The shade structures are in progress, that will happen, and it's currently moving towards the shade, sorry, the pickleball courts are kind of on hold and probably decide whether or not you want to do a dog park in this zone. If the dog park is approved, or the community wants to move forward with the dog park, we would be moving foot flopping project. So instead of doing a dog park at $4, we can't do what we set aside funds for, we replace that with pickleball courts. So we move those areas. So we're not going to be losing the recreational opportunity. We're trying to increase that for our community. And like I stated, we're low on what we can do here and what we have available for our community. So we're not trying to take anything away, we're trying to increase and get people into our park. But that whole process from the environmental review to planning and design and the bid and construction, we're minimum a year out. So we're going to make a decision, this isn't going to happen tomorrow. This isn't even, we're not approving anything tonight. This is just the start of the process. And we want to hear from you what your thoughts are, where we would like to see it. If you have issues with how it's designed, if you have a better idea on where we can put it or what we can do within the area that we have, what we're looking for tonight. My overall recommendation, though, to the board, is that if we move forward with this, that it be with the Central Park location. And the reason being is when the maintenance costs are more built in there, we wouldn't be increasing to that zone. The capital costs are lower. We put it in for a much lower cost than we could at the parking ride. The distance from the residences in the area is very distinct. There's no bordering home along Cypher Park, and so we have less impact on residences. And the park is already looking for the need for an off-leash area. With that, we're going to open up questions to the board.
Do any of the directors have any questions they'd like to ask? They'd like to ask first, or clarify? Yes?
Aaron, I know a lot of people are asking funding wise. The big question I've been asked over and over again, is there any landscaping project that we will not be financially able to do because of the dog park? Because of the money we're putting in the dog park? No, I'd like to hear from you guys. So at this point, I would ask, first of all, I've got two sheets up here so people can kind of know the process. So I'm going to first ask Gary Tucker to come forward to a microphone to speak. He's actually submitted a request for. Not that you need to, but I mean, for the rest of you, still get an opportunity to come back.
I'll try to be brief. I've already spoken to this group before about a dog park. I've looked at all the sites and I have. The first question I have is why are these buildings excluded from this site location?
We excluded any areas that are really needed for other recreational opportunities within the community. Right now we have soccer rooms that need for open space fields there. And over the winter from the same reason we excluded the open space at Fortnite Park and the field at Fletcher Park and forgot. All of those we have very limited resources and all of our field space is used for our friends and on from local
I didn't want anything like that. I don't really have to see anything, but the other thing is that between the two sites, I think that the slide for park site is better, but there are big problems with both those sites. I know that the parking lot is just too small, and then you have on the street side, eventually you have people throwing fever balls to their dogs. They're going to go all over the place. You're going to have them on the street, people going by and fixing, with a bouncing ball game. It doesn't work at all. There's a huge culvert area there that has to be built in. I don't know who's discussed that. What would be done about that? If it were not price, the ground there is about 3 feet.
But there's a culvert there, is we.
Big deep area where the lawn rocks are pieces of trees.
Yeah, to it, right. Not a culvert. Generally, we want to maintain and use the grading sites. We don't want to come back in and re-contour those due to cost and raising the grades and things like that. We have some grading in Slagler Park as well that we would leave in place essentially.
I'm not a big dog owner, but that would work for me. Having my dog, you know, going with that pole and hurt their legs. I think that site is terrible.
Yeah, the parking lot does a lot
of fun. I do not think that we should consider that. The problem you're having, you have some of the things that you haven't thought about or haven't discussed. Are we moved to Slagler? It's hard for me to do this without showing on the map, but you're over in the far corner of the park. The parking is only on one area of that whole, yeah, you put the whole thing back up. There's no parking on three sides of Slagler Park. None. And I don't know if you can park on the main street there. So really, all you have is to park on the lead. I'm trying to speak for a group of dog owners. You have two that are handicapped and can't walk a total distance every day, you know, once or twice a day. That's just showing a small portion of the park. The parking is way over, I guess it's almost a quarter mile.
This right here.
Yeah, the parking is that left, bottom left corner. Now, you've got to park there and maybe don't have a handicap spot, and the handicap person needs to walk all the way around. You can't park where the gully is on the right side of the park, west, I guess that's the east side. You can't park along Slagler. There's no parking on either side of the street. And the third side that I'm talking about is the school. But I don't know how that's going to work out. I really think that's going to be a problem. Thank you.
Thank you. Next is Marshall Harris.
I had some issues about part before.
Marshall, get a little closer to the mic, please. Thank you.
Thank you. I had some issues with the city park before. I understand the zoning, and I understand where the money's coming from. The majority of the money comes from the ladies and Lake Shore. But we get no benefit at all. I'm not going to walk from the ladies to the airport to go far from here because, number one, it's outside of my community area. I know we're all one community, but if I feel like I'm paying for something that I don't have any access to, you can say I have access to, but I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to take a walk out at 5 o'clock in the evening all the way down here to pick up the dog. I just want to agree with that. I'm opposed to this whole project. I understand it's done. We've done a lot of work and it's absolutely marvelous. But again, the benefit for those of us that live on the other side of Central Point, there is that. I think that building a dog park is absolutely appropriate because if people aren't there at night, they can get things to go. Do whatever they want to do, but don't make it up. I also feel like, you know, if I want to get into the idea of picking up and cleaning up and say maintenance stuff, maintenance is a job, not to think about somebody else's fault. It doesn't happen with a lot of people right now. They don't fix that to the world. They end up with a mess after. And I don't think there's any need for park benches at all. I just think the veterans. So that would be a reason for money, but I understand that the benefit for people that are out there is to sit down and watch the dog from the back. Those are the issues that I have there. The money, I just don't think it's a good benefit.
Thank you for your comments. Next is Greg Erickson. Well, for this instance, I'm getting closer.
No, actually, I
an unusual name that always mispronounced, so I'm going to get it right. It's Enix. Enix, thank you, sir. I wanted to first thank Karen, because I believe she's well aware this has started this whole process going. The board really considered it because I know and I want to particularly thank the designer because I've got some experience with dog parks and this design covers all the things that I've had to turn walking into the process of safety. So it is an outstanding job. I'm very familiar with the Danville dog park and I just want to focus on the board of directors because I saw cross-saving on the three. We go with a single large park. A Danville experience with two dogs playing. The one was small. That's all they were doing, and they've done that for days and one day they took a lot of people. Small dog was playing. And so, they shut down the park. They had a brand new park and they shut it down. And I think 2 months ago, they were trying to keep it under the two sections of that. So, at some point, they might find yourself spending that money with them. So, anyway, most of the congratulations. I've got experience going out in Arizona. I've got some relatives out there. They've got lots of dog parks out there. So, I've seen a lot of variation. We need one ever. So, I think it's important now. I do think it makes sense to have a 2-section dog park. I think the location, I have my reservations about a little bit better location slightly. Because it is a way to take services to busy roads, so if anything going on, the dogs are running out there, we're going to have some kind of action. If you're not sure that that is going to be a threat. My big concern is slider, and I'm very effective about that on this department. It's not just, I have the same friend who came regularly and struggled for them to go 50 to 100 feet, much less all the way back. But my concern is where the GPs to get, especially in the summer with the ball or games or soccer, baseball, and so on. That's part of our control. Absolutely. The school parking lot is going to go out. Some people resort to parking lot in the street for the school parking. So I just point that out. Parking in the field is something we need to think under factor. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Gary Steinberg.
Good evening. My name is Gary Steinberg. I'm at 4112 North Nixon 470 Bay. This is the first meeting I've talked about, so I don't know if you guys have one before. But two of the members in the audience have brought up right off the bat in parking for the site location. Some of the information that you gave earlier, one is I'm quite disappointed in the county discussion today and having lower than average parts per people for us trying to be a forefront, and I know we spent money in water reclamation as well as water treatment facility to meet our goals and that and try to lead on clean water. Discovery Bay has to do a better job in leading. Question that I have too is you guys say you guys treat these parks because they don't conflict with other not residential but parks and recreation events that consume the other location. Well, coming from me, my dogs are like my kids. I don't have any kids myself. So in regards to Dr. Perger tonight, that I take the bottom lung in regards to recreation rooms and parks in Discovery Bay is a problem. And I kind of took offense to that myself. Just because I don't have kids, just because I don't have kids in sports, the recreation in these parks that's supposed to be at my avail. I don't have kids, so look forward, put dogs, because dogs are people's special pets. Kids do something. But
But give us a little respect, okay? Because we don't have kids, so value our lifestyle and look more into this and put a little bit more effort into it. Parking, size, residential. And for all the members that you guys say you come across, I'd be more than glad to have this park in my park, Nevada. Basketball courts just going in there. And for the audience members, I come from a distant dog park, so if you look at the Brentwoods, dog owners, to the most extent, are responsible dog owners. We pick up our after ourselves, and we make sure that others do as well. So, before you point fingers, please look in and be respectful of others. Thank you.
Thank you for coming. Alexis Steele? No? Yes? Okay. Do you want to comment, Alexis? No? Hi, Amy. I would like to have a dog agility course because people would most likely like to give their dog an opportunity to learn new things and have a very special bonding time. So thank you for that. I probably should have seen that one before. Okay, open, the floor is open. If you'd like to make comments and didn't fill out a yellow sheet, that's fine also. Please come up to the mic and make a comment. Anybody?
My name is Bob. I'm here with some of the pinball players who were enthusiastic and excited about the idea of having a bit of a course selection. But we support the dog park idea, and I guess I would react to the last comment that spending money looking to spend money on the dog park is, in fact, supporting the folks that have dogs. We have one small dog, haven't spent a lot of time at dog parks, but we have been at the dog park. The things that we covered most of the things that we saw at dog parks that were important. I guess I would encourage you to, if the funds are available, fix it and do it right, because the things that are on that list in the first option cover all the things that we saw at dog parks that are important, but are relatively minor. Exposure to dog parks. Although my wife, she takes care of the dog and she goes to get dog park. She goes to dog park. And we live on the other side of town, and this is part. I think the comments about parking are an issue, but we've got a community that decides it is, and sometimes we all just struggle with what we do when we have so much space. The pickleball group is enthusiastic about part of their work out to people, and they think the dog park is a great lifer. But we probably looking at Aaron and came up with the pickleball court as lifer because that was a suggestion that there were a greater use of that park. If we had been asked initially where you want them, we probably would have said that it might be better for an L bar near the tennis courts because the one thing that keeps costs down for those. And if there's a lot of activities and actually we use pickleball courts and then tennis courts and not. Thank you.
Thank you, Bob. Next.
My name is Malcolm Westbrook, and I'm a resident of the lakes. And we agree that the Cypress Park project is a good project, but the residents of the lakes don't have access to it. And if people want a dog park, that's fine, but we should separate the fund so that folks who want a dog park can pay for it. Yeah, we don't have an opposition to the dog park. We just don't want to pay for something that we don't have access to. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. You're next, man. I see you over there standing up there. Go ahead, sir.
Good evening. Brian Guto. I am a dog owner. I went to live in Discovery Bay. I work in Discovery Bay. I got the house about 5 minutes to play for fun. I probably drive by there at least 4, 5, 6, 7 times a day as I come and go do my daily activities. So I see what goes on in Slipper Park all day long. I think Slipper Park is probably the best location given the current parameters that you guys are operating under. It's unfortunate though, under the current design of Slipper Park, there wasn't a lot of forethought going into it. And again, I'm not trying to pick on anything given that it's after the fact, but as an example, the basketball courts, when I drive by those things literally 6 times a day, are very lily. They're not used a whole lot. They're rarely used. I'm not saying get rid of them, but it's just kind of, in hindsight, that those courts should have probably been another 40 feet to the west of the location, and then you would have had a nice size dog park facility. But under your current plan, it's kind of skewed a little bit. My only concern, and one of my concerns, is that big dog owner, most people that bring the big dogs have the chuckers to throw it. I don't know if there's enough space under the current design to effectively throw a tennis ball and have the dog run after and get it without running into the culvert, running into the fence. It's just a poorly thought out when it's like a park to go in there. But there is definitely a demand for the area. I don't know if you guys are going to have a year long to think about it and possibly raise it to additional funds or something. I definitely recommend you guys to move the basketball courts over and enlarge that area. Just a thought.
Thank you.
I live in Lake, and I bring my dog over to the first 5:30. Every morning after I drop my kids off at the school, I take my dog over and let him play. Because as I live in Lake and I love living there, I spend lots of money to live there every month extra. We're not allowed to let our dog off the leash anyway. So I agree with the physical location. I think maybe they're over the parking lot, which is very good. If somebody were to accidentally let a dog out when he got killed on the highway, the owner would be devastated. The person who let the dog out would be devastated. And if I live there with my children have nowhere to nothing to do. While my dog's playing, because with the dog there, they can't necessarily stand in. They might get run over because the dogs are running around in the darkness in the dog park area. So it makes it look like there's something for my kids to do also. Whether it's playing on the playground or just taking the ball outside the fence on the grass area. My kids also do baseball and soccer, so I do agree with putting it back behind the basketball court because that's the field space is used a lot. But I also do agree that there does need to be more parking because it's really just a place. But people walk off parking and then you've got quite a bit of traffic going through and it's just a mess.
Thank you. I do want a couple of points. First of all, the county built, designed, and owned that park. So I do appreciate the comments with regards to how it could have been better laid out. We're trying to make the best of the situation as we can. Eventually, we hope that that park will be done properly every day, but we're still in the process with the county, and we only inherit what we've built. I agree, the parking is woefully slack, even with regards to soccer, basketball, and anything else. Unfortunately, there's not much that can be done about that. And not to, I just want to clarify, the name of the park is Slipher Park. It was named after Bill Slipher. Bill Slipher was one of the original board members of the district when we first started out. Just so everybody knows the Buffalo State Park and why they're doing that.
Director of Public Works.
I just have a, I think a simple question. I know on design plans you got very shade trees extension presentation, but I didn't see it on the bus one, it's something with outside the bus one, so it'd be done regardless.
At the time that the shade, there wasn't any additional shade trees when we started doing the budget. Using what was existing there, it kind of came up as an afterthought that we should add them, so it wasn't included in the budget. However, we are already replacing and planning to replace many trees at Cyclo Park, including additional adding additional ones, and they might not have been there at the first time, so it's sort of listed in the lower level.
I'm Don Patterson. I said the golf course, the pickleball side and the dog park side. I watch my pickleball over the Cornell 3 or 4 days a week. And we walk our dogs over there every day. And we live on this side of town. We drive over to that park because, in our opinion, it's much more dog friendly. Slicer is as close to traffic and lots of kids. And Cornell is enclosed. There are very few accesses to streets directly. So if a dog gets off leash and takes off, you aren't much of a problem. Somebody can catch it. That's my major concern. Somebody else brought it up as well with the Vixen site. If a dog gets out by accident or gets away from the corner as they're getting out of the car or getting into the car, you're on a high traffic street or high speed traffic. That's an accident waiting to happen and you feel that. That is a terrible sign. I would not consider it for an instant. Slicer, all of its deficiencies have been pointed out. Parking is terrible, but nevertheless, it's the best of two evils in the few cases you've looked at. Having it at Cornell, I thought was a fine idea, but it's surrounded by houses, and I recognize that as a problem. So Slicer is a much better selection in that regard. And having a pickleball court transferred from Slicer over to Cornell is also a problem, because it puts them adjacent to the existing tennis court, which are already striped for pickleball. And if you have lots of players, you have the additional space to use. So I think both of those things are a win-win.
Thank you for your comments, sir.
Thank you. I'm from about 5 in North Shore. I have different experience taking my dog to the rental of the dog park. I noticed the arrangement on the park itself, and also the one where I was talking about, it used to be the length, but not from the width of my car. Do you have any idea? I've walked the area over at Slicer. I take the dog in every day to the night, often with the up to 20 dogs. And I like Slicer Park. However, this area that is designated with the dog park is way too small, in my opinion. I could go into the driveway of the dog park because it's too small. I guess it was just a, hazard of being in the dog park, but on the other hand, it's a much larger dog park, and it's still happening. So the large area is kind of closed it, where the problem is too small. And a lot of large dogs don't have the park manner.
I apologize for not pointing this out to you, because we did do the analysis, as you mentioned, on the lakes. The widths here are about 50 to 60 feet. There's like, this is closer to 80 feet. And then, I don't have, there's a distance there that's about 2/3 of this. This being a large dog area, they're more room, and that's about 240 feet, and then that's probably about 225 feet there. And that clearly was a constraint that we had to deal with all both parks. We were looking at the fact that they weren't planned out originally for dogs. Is the constraint, and honestly, we have to live with those, and they're not as ideal as we'd like them to be. For instance, the gentleman did mention that it seems difficult to imagine using one of those tuffers to really get a football field blank out of it. You know, it just won't be able to do that. But you do have, and we set this up so that the long distances did not, you were not going towards traffic. Well, here's one thing I wanted to mention, if you don't mind. For but you're right, the parking is not ideal by any means necessarily. For access to disabled people, I'm wondering if it could work that they could be dropped off here. You could move the entrance to that proximity as close as easily possible, turn that turning this gate, maintenance gate into an entrance for the dog park users, and show them the distance that someone's disabled would have to walk. And you could do that very easily without adding realistically any costs there. I think they could not agree more with them. Just about all the comments about the parking lot site. It is constrained for a number of reasons. Our widest area here is again about 60 feet, and that's, I'm sorry, about 80 feet, and then again about 60 feet here. We are picking out all of the landscape and planting area that comes somewhat like from about here down, and then the lawn stops about when it's all planted. So that's all being removed and turned into to maximize the space that's given there. And another concern I have, besides the fact that Victor is a high-speed road, is that the wires here are really quite low, and I can almost guarantee you that folks will be hitting those wires from time to time with growing or fall. You know, so all of your comments are really very well taken, and I'm more than happy to spend as much time as you'd like. We have plans here, and I'll take it with more comments, because honestly, we had enough room where I grew up to throw balls from dogs, and the dog park phenomenon wasn't a part of my dog life. So you might know a little more than the Americans by the studies that we've done.
Thank you. Any other comments?
Hi, my name is Vanessa. I live in Discovery Bay. I'm the president of the Discovery Bay Yorkie Club, as well as the Brentwood Discovery Bay Small Meetup group, and I'm here to represent the Walking Clippers. Bad joke. Anyways, I just wanted to stress the importance of having a big and small dog section. I know several situations where small dogs have been trampled and killed in dog parks because they have not been separated. In Danville, that was the opening day of their dog park. They had a small dog die and actually met the owner. And they shut it down immediately and then have since been separated. I've been to almost every dog park in the area, and I think Danville has a great dog park. I'm not sure if you've been there, but it's a great one to look at. It has a big and small dog separating area, and it's a grass. In your design, you say turf. Is it a man-made or is it grass?
Grass.
Okay, good. Okay. That was my other question. Grass is much better. You should know it. So I'm just stressing the importance of, I have 50 members in Brentwood, and we try to have meetups, and it hasn't worked because we don't have a place for us to go. So as owners, we don't want to do the dogs to work because we might have into our dogs. So we've actually even gotten a bunch of pens inside a park and try to have our own small dog park within the park in Brentwood, but it was too small, it didn't work out. So I know that I'm representing 50 people that are really anxious to have a small dog section. Thank you
very much. It was a small dog issue. We had a Cornell that really brought this to the forefront and started some of this. And I think that our staff did a great job of providing options, but I don't think it was really seriously considered a non-emotional product. I think we didn't spend the money for now, additional money for a fence. We agree 100% that this idea is bad. We definitely have not separated the two dogs. Side by side, just for the comfort and ease of the dogs and of the owner. And also, fairness to inform me that the area that we're talking about is Slifer Park is almost two-thirds of an acre, or it is two-thirds of an acre, and that can be extended a little bit. There's an area to expand that to make it a bit larger, but not quite up to an acre. Noticing as we made for taking her. All your comments into consideration. The only downside is that it is slow. So I don't see how that necessarily being a problem. Even if you've got an animal trying to run on flat ground, the back, I don't think there's anything wrong with it. It's not as fast. I don't know how steep that's going to be. Gentle slope. So we appreciate your comments. Is there anybody else that one of our directors has a comment?
I just wanted to thank everyone for coming on tonight. I was one of the people who was willing to have a dog park. It's stuff. But after hearing the concerns, I think that something we can learn. But we have very limited options when it comes to park space. That has nothing to do with this board. That happened way before we were even in the prison. There's been some problems. It's not just a perfect thing. I agree with everyone that brought up the park. That's definitely something that needs to be addressed, but we are doing the best we can with what we have. I think that there was a comment about the teams using the dog park. The teams use the park snack. The minute they get started, they use the park snack. I don't know what the cure for it is, but I really don't think this will be any different than any of our other parks. And I just want to tell Alexis, I think the agility course is
fantastic. It's not for you, Brian, it's for the dogs. Any other comments? Yes, sir. Two more. Work your way down again. We've got so many friends. Go ahead, sir.
This is a great first start to the dog park. So you can learn from this one and start on the other ones.
The issue we have, folks, is we're discussing they show the land application in notice. We're pretty much locked at this point. So we're trying to do the best that we can. Sir.
It'd be best to take a little time and see what develops with the open space we have in the center of town. Maybe we have really close. As soon as that, like, with better central location, gives you more land to work with, et cetera, if that would ever come up, rather than rushing into something we might want to wait to see, but it is an opportunity. Also, these parts are too small, they're not centrally located, and all the other issues that come up.
Thank you. Any other comments? Not seeing anybody get up, I would encourage you to, if you have made some notes, to willing to meet with us. We'd sure like to have those, so we can, there's a basket over here to put them in. And we thank you all for your attention and for your care and for your loving of your animals. You can go to togb.ca.gov, right? TODB.ca.gov, and that's our website, and you can leave comments there and see what the progress is and what's going on with the town. Thank you very much for coming tonight. Meet you, Jordan.
Yeah, I'm sorry, I'm not here.